Good morning, everybody. Parshas Chayesara. There's a ton to discuss, a ton to learn from. Avraham, Eliezer, Rivka, so many different elements. Sarah's life, of course. Many people speak about Sarah's life in the beginning of the parasha. But I want to talk about Eliezer. So in Parak Chav Dalet Pasuk Beis, which is Avraham's commandment and his directions that he gives to Eliezer how to find a wife for Yitzchak, he says, Avraham zokin bob yomim, Hashem birach as Avraham b'kol. Avraham was given everything. He's blessed everything. So who watched over all of his stuff? Who is his right-hand man? Avraham el avdo zikon beiso hamoshe b'chol ashalo simyon no yadcha tachas reichi. Avraham tells his eved, Eliezer, he's the Khan Beso, he's the elder of the house, the head of the house, Moshe B'chol HaShalom, he's the ruler of everything. Simno Yadcha Tachas Yirechi. Right? Swear to me, by the bris milah, swear to me that you're going to take a wife, not from Benos Kanan, you're going to go to my family, you're going to find a wife. So the Medrash and the Gemara is replete with praises of Eliezer based on this line, based on these two words, Zakan Beso. First of all, the Medrash Rabba tells us that what? She showed like Yitzhar Kamoso, he showed on the Yitzhara, just like Avraham Avinu on the Simadrega in terms of his shlita on the Yitzhara. The Gemara in Yimel Chavches says, Shemosh B'Toras Rabba, he was a ruler on the Torah of his Rebbe. Lo Rak Shemosh B'Toras Rabba, El Od Darshu B'Gemara, the Gemara says over there, Demesek Eliezer. What does it mean? Shadola Umashke Mitorosa Shal Rabba L'Acherim. He drew and he watered and he gave to drink from others, from his Rebbe's Torah. And the Yalkut Shimoni says, "Shaliyazel lo shal bo hamavets." Right, death didn't find him. Who echad mitisha anoshim shalu chayim l'shemayim. He's one of the nine people that went up to Shemayim alive. So Eliezer is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous person. So first of all, if Avraham trusts him with everything, and he's so reliable, and he's mamash talmud chacham, the Medrash and the Gemara sings his praises. Why does he need to swear to Avraham? He's going to take a. He's not going to take a wife from Benos Kanan. He's going to go to Avraham's Mishpoch and find a wife from there. He's trustworthy with everything else. Why is he not trustworthy? And more than that, is if we're going to praise Eliezer, why would we praise him right before and at the same time we're making him swear? You would think that you'd praise him in a different context, and you wouldn't praise him dafka when you're making him take a shul, which sounds like a contradiction. It sounds like you don't rely upon him. You're not so meich on him. You don't find him to be responsible enough. That's why you're making him swear. So, Rishon Shajan builds a tremendous yisod from these two kashas. Number one, why does he have to make Eliezer swear if he's so trustworthy? And why dafka here, at this mission, do we mention his great praise? And he says that based on the following hanacha, based on the following idea, there is no question. He starts off by saying a marshal from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav said a marshal that if a person goes to a certain town and needs food, so he meets a guy in the street and he says to the guy in the street, you know, so and so is supposed to be a good host. Does he have kosher food? Can I rely upon him? And you know the call is aid echad neman bisur, and one aid is enough. And the gentleman in the street says, yeah, that person Joe. You know, Joe the host, the Joe the Baal Chesed, Joe the Hachnasas Orchim guy, he's reliable for kashrus. Don't worry, he can eat there. Well, let's say, says the Brisker Rav, Joe would come to this new guy in town, this visitor in town, and say, visitor in town, I need a loan. I need a loan of some money. So would the guest in the town meet one random person in the street and say, can I rely upon this guy? Can I give him a loan? Can I be sure to give it back? And says the Brisker Rav, most likely not. Let's say you would rely upon one person to say, yeah, he has a kosher home, but if you were going to give him a loan and it was your money, not so clear that you'd rely upon one person saying, yeah, he's going to pay you back, he's reliable, you don't have to worry. Similar story to Rishol Salanter. Rishol Salanter came to a certain town, somebody came running to him, he saw him, he had a long beard, he looked like a Rav. He said, oh, I'm sure you're a shochet, come chef some chickens. Come, chef the goat. We need meat. Come, chef. So Yisrael Salanta didn't answer him. And he turned back to me, he says, a few minutes later, and he says, you know, I have money at home, but I'm traveling through town, I need 50 rubles. can you give me a loan? And the guy was a little bit taken aback. He's like, I don't know. He started stuttering and stumbling for words. So Yisrael Salanter said, what do you mean? You looked at me, you saw I had a beard, and you're ready to trust me as a shochet? But you don't trust me as somebody to lend money to? Where do you put your priorities? And he caught him in his words. How could it be? How could it be he can trust somebody in Ruchias, in Kashrus, but he wouldn't trust him so fast in when it comes came to monetary issues? And along the same lines, they used to ask the Brisker Rav, you know, everyone knows Brisker Chumras, Brisker Chumras. They used to ask the Brisker Rav, you know, why do you worry so much about being Kai Mitzvahs, making sure you hear, you know, every certain Diktuk Mitzvahs? So Brisker Rav would tell people, you know, if you had $1 million in your pocket and you walked outside, you check it, as the Gemara of Mitzvah says, right? Other Mishamash Kisa B'chol Shah, person's always nervous about his money. He's got $1 million in his pocket, he's been nervous the whole time. He holds Kia Shofar and every other Mitzvah, Tio B'tzibur, of course. Is $1 million. He's been going the whole time. It's the same way you'd be going on your money. You'd be going on your mitzvahs the whole time. This is what you're mavchin, where a person's holding. With that being said, what is Avraham Avinu? What's he makshiv? Avraham Avinu is makshiv ruchnis. He's makshiv. What's the most important thing in Avraham's life? The building of Klal Yisrael. The future of Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak's going to marry a wife who's going to be the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Even though Eliezer is a bar samcha, Eliezer's trustworthy is an understatement. He'll trust with his entire, every single resource, every single asset that he has. Eliezer is trustworthy. He trusts him. That's by gashmius. But Davka over here, where it's ruchnius, where he has to find the wife of Yitzchak, who's going to be the foundation of Klal Yisrael, there's a greater concern. It's like all the stories we just said in terms of the mitzvahs, it's ruchnius. Even though Eliezer is so reliable in every other area, when it comes to this area, he has to make him take a shua. He's got to be overly concerned. Why? Because this is it. This is what really matters. Certainly, he's worried about his parnasi and his money, and he needs Eliezer to be trustworthy. When it comes to the ruchnius, he's a million times more concerned, and he makes him take a shua on that. You really see there what's important to Avraham. When it comes to ruchnius, he has to go the extra mile to make sure it's done properly. And we can answer the two questions. Right? That even though Eliezer was so trustworthy, when it came to ruchnius, he had to take a shua. And dafka here, we have to highlight it. Why do you have to mention Eliezer's praises over here? To show us that even though he's trustworthy to the highest degree, when it came to the ruchnius, dafka over here, we have to show you that he has to take a shua. So Shom Shadron says over a personal story, it's a famous story, but it brings out the same point. He was once sitting in his house, and his wife came running with a young child who was bleeding profusely. And they quickly started to bandage up this child from the neighborhood, and they started running the streets. Shom Shadron and his wife were running this baby, with his a child, let's say a six-year-old. And they're going to the doctor in Shari Chesed, not too far away from here. And in the distance, Shom Shadron sees the boy's grandmother. And the boy's grandmother, from a distance, he can hear her say, "Oh, Lonara, Hashem Yazor." Let me get you the exact words. Zalonara, Hashem Yazor. No big deal. Hashem will help. As they're getting closer, this grandmother sees it's her America. America! She screams loud. The entire neighborhood hears America, America. She starts freaking out. Gevalt! It's akako kach ad shekol shchuna. Shkunas Shari Chesed heard her tzakot. One second, hold on. All of a sudden, it's her America. She starts screaming. And of course, they take him to the doctor. So Shom Shadron said he learned a huge, huge lesson. When it's something you really don't care about, it's really not yours. Lonora, Hashem Yazor. But all of a sudden, something you really care about, then you show it, you scream, you go crazy. That's the way to be mavkin, and that's the way to really test oneself. What do you care about? Now, what I'm going to say now, I hope comes out in the right way. You have to understand, so Shom Shadron says, in Eretz Yisrael, for example, you know, as the country was being built, there were certain elements that weren't necessarily so Shomer Shabbos. And they used to speak about how important it was that the country should be more Shomer Shabbos, and used to have Not like today. I don't think Shom Shadron ever threw a rock at Shom. I don't think anybody that can. No rocks thrown. but certain you know tefillah rallies and so on and so forth, and people would say, oh, and they would cry out, oh, Chilul Shabbos, Chilul Shabbos, Chilul Shabbos, and there was two guys in the crowd who said, you know, they'll do tshuva, don't worry. A few weeks later, Shom Shajan is giving another shir, and he hears these two men getting all upset how the country is enforcing some heavy taxes, and they're all upset about it. And they're fired up about it. So Shom Shajan says, I don't understand. When it came to Chilul Shabbos, so it's okay, they'll do tshuva, eventually they'll fall away. When it came to their own money, when it came to their taxes, right? So then all of a sudden, oh, no, hold on a second, what's going on over here? You see what matters to a person. And I think the same thing can be said, perhaps, in our generation. You know, when in America, oftentimes, I haven't noticed on the news recently, I think that, you know, unfortunately, sometimes Jews get in trouble with the law, monetarily, these kinds of things, you know, sometimes Chilul Hashem. And people go, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, what a Chilul Hashem! It's terrible, and I'm not condoning, you know, getting in trouble with, you know, white collar crime as a Jew. But people go bananas about it. How could it be, you know, religious Jews in the news with this and that? And it kills them. It says the biggest Chilul Hashem. But the same people, you know, they find out somebody's Mechallel Shabbos. They find out somebody's, you know, something that's more ruchnis oriented. It's not. Does it bother them the same? Both things should bother you. The question is, the disparity seems to be troubling. When a person hears about a religious Jew who gets in trouble doing white collar crime, they go bananas. When they hear about a religious Jew who's Mechallel Shabbos or something who's doing something that's totally ruchni, it doesn't bother them as much. You see what matters. Both should. The real response is both should destroy you. Both you should be ba'ag mas nefesh. You should be pained by both things, at least on the same level, if not more, for the ruchni shabo. So you see how a person's mach, what a person gets excited about or not excited about, shows us where what their value system is. Just one more nekuda. They say, or you know, in terms of chinuch, that. So I've heard this idea before. Let's say you have a philanthropist. You have and people come to his house, you know, to collect money. So, but he also has friends. Sometimes his friends come over, and they hang out and they have a good time. And the father is mechaved to his friends. He hangs out with them and he has a good time. And sometimes Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbanim come to collect money for Yeshiva. If a child sees the father honoring his friends and having a good time and bringing out the best food, in contrast to, let's say, when the Rosh Yeshiva comes, somebody comes, there's a big time of Chacham, and he makes him wait and he doesn't get all excited when he's coming, what's going to happen? The child's going to see what's Chashuv in my father's eyes. Obviously the fun guys are more Chashuv than my father. And then what? But he sees when the Rosh Yeshiva people, Talmid Chacham, come to the house, he doesn't honor them in the same way. So it's very clear. What is he maksiv? I think there's a story about another Rosh Yeshiva that, if I'm not mistaken, so his son, he didn't, this person didn't understand why his kids weren't into learning. He supported Torah. He himself learned Torah. I think, if I remember the story correctly, and he came, Rosh Yeshiva came to collect money, and he brought him into the kitchen, and he showed him his 60 brands of coffee. And what kind of coffee do you want? You know, this coffee, and that coffee. And he was like, the Rosh Yeshiva realized he's showing himself, he's showing his family what's chashuv. Different kinds of coffee, that's what's chashuv to him. The person has to know and develop inside himself. You can't fake it, right? If it's your America, if it's your mayor, if it's your son, if it's your, you know, people have pet peeves, your baby, right? The person builds something. If it's his baby, he gets all excited about it and he's upset when it doesn't work out. So if ruchnius, if davening, if Torah, if doing mitzvahs is what you care about, so you're excited and it bothers you. I'm not saying you have to walk around the world giving mustard to people, but it should bother you deep down inside. When you hear, you know, other things that are not ruchni, they could bother you as well. But to a certain degree, a person has to have the proper value system. That's what Avraham Avinu had. Avraham Avinu understood when it came to his gashmius, he can rely on Eliezer, no shvuas, he's in charge. When it came to ruchnius, there is no, you have to, as I've heard recently, you have to cross the T's and dot the I's. There's no shortcuts. You gotta make sure it's kedashim kedin. You gotta make sure it's perfect. And those stories of Yisrael Salater and the stories about the Moshe from the Brisker Rav. If you can rely upon somebody, if you rely upon him for meat, you should certainly be. But you wouldn't rely upon him for money. That's, you know, for the kashrus of the meat. But you wouldn't rely upon him when he gave you all money. That's scary. That shows a person's master is money more than his ruchnius. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us siyata shemaya. We should have the proper value system. We should be machshiv all davar ruchni even more than davar gashmi. And Be'ez Hashem, through that, we'll build ourselves up as mamish great b'nei Torah. Have a wonderful Shabbos.